In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's coolest conversations podcast time in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest this time around is Hilton Valentine, the guitar player in the original lineup of The Animals. He played on all of their seminal British Invasion era hits, including We Gotta Get Out of This Place, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, It's My Life, Don't Bring Me Down, and others, as well as being responsible for coming up with that distinctive guitar figure to their number one hit, House of the Rising Sun. Let's hear some of that now, followed by my coolest conversations with Hilton Valentine, presented by Hard Rock, in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God,
what a splendiferous, coolest conversations is line up for you today, dear listener. This is the Mighty Manfred, and my very special guest today is musician Hilton Valentine, best known as a guitarist in the original lineup of The Animals. He plays on all their seminal songs, seminal hits, and is also responsible for that distinctive guitar figure on their version of House of the Rising Sun. How are you, Hilton?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much.
Well, these are certainly very crazy times. Have you and your family and friends managed to remain healthy as the virus rages?
Yes, so far so good.
Well, I know that you're living outside of New Haven, Connecticut. How long have you been there?
Oh, 20 years.
20 years, all right. But you're from Northern England originally. Where is it that you grew up?
Just called Newcastle.
And how old were you when you started playing guitar?
I think I would have been about 11, 12.
11 or 12. And why did you start playing?
I don't know. I was I saw Lonnie Donegan. I think Lonnie Donegan inspired me.
So skiffle inspired you?
Yes. Well, skiffle and rock and roll. Yeah.
Skiffle and rock and roll. And I think I had read somewhere that your mother was responsible for buying you your first guitar.
Yes, that is correct.
Did you ask her to get you a guitar, or was that something that she figured out on her own?
No, I asked her many, many, many times till eventually she got one.
So your parents, were they were very supportive of your music?
Yes, my mother was, yeah.
And your father?
My father left home when I was young.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide that you wanted music to be your vocation?
Oh, that would have been when I was, probably when I was about 13 or 14.
So pretty young. My understanding is that before The Animals, you had a band called The Wildcats?
Correct.
And was that a skiffle group or was that a rock and roll band?
It started off as a skiffle group. Most bands in England at that time started out as skiffle groups and then very quickly went under rock and roll. So that would have been, yeah, it was 12 or 13.
Yeah, I've noticed this, in the U.S. in the 50s and early 60s, there was a folk revival, but not really a skiffle revival. And in the U.K., it just seems like there's a who's who of musicians. We're all in skiffle groups before rock and roll bands, Van Morrison, yeah. Ron Wood, Roger Daltrey, Jimmy Page, Graham Nash, you know, the guys in the Beatles. Yep. So what was the allure of skiffle? What drew you guys to skiffle first?
Well, because it was easy to play, and it didn't take like expensive instruments. Any instrument you got. I mean, in my first skiffle group, we had a toy saxophone, plastic saxophone that only had one note working. So we used to do, see you later, alligator, do.
Well, you know,
the washboard and stuff.
Oh, yes. Very cool. Well, was there a distinctive moment, you know, like, did you have was there any kind of epiphany where you decided, hey, no more gum from the bedpost overnight for me. Now I'm going to be a rock and roller. Or was it kind of a gradual evolution from skiffle to playing rock and roll?
Yeah, it was a gradual revolution.
So what was the first, let's say, rock and roll song that you played?
Ooh, probably 20 Flight Rock, Eddie Cochran.
Oh, man, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Was it Chas Chandler who got you to join the Alan Price combo?
Yes, it was. He came to a gig that the Wildcats were playing and asked me if I was interested in going to London and come along and see the Alan Price combo play the gig in Whitley Bay, which is where I used to play as well. So saw them play, and they set up an audition for me. Mm-hmm. And I went for an audition, and that was when they asked me to join. Yep.
Now, how did you know Chas?
I didn't know him until he introduced himself to me at the Wildcats gig.
And did you say that he had you come down to London? Is that where the Alan Price combo were at the time?
No. They were planning on going to London. Mm-hmm. They played in Newcastle, Club Go-Go. And they wanted to go to London, but they didn't have a guitar player, and they wanted one. So that's how I got in the band.
So when you guys formed, were you playing House of the Rising Sun right towards the beginning, or had you been playing together for a few weeks before you started playing that song? Was it one of the first things you worked up or not?
No, I guess it was a while before we played House of the Rising Sun. We got that together for the Chuck Berry tour that we were on in England. That's when we learned that and played it. And then we told Mickey Morse that it was going down well. So that's why we recorded it.
So what version did you guys learn the song from, The House of the Rising Sun? How did you come to the song?
Through Bob Dylan.
Okay. And what possessed you to play that guitar part as an arpeggio?
I just made that up myself to use it. Yeah. I mean, there's a similar riff on Diana. It's a song by Paul Anka.
Yeah.
It started off with an arpeggio guitar. It's not the same, but it's pretty similar.
What guitar are you playing on the recording?
I was playing...
Was it a Gretsch?
Oh, God. It was the Gretsch, yes. Gretsch Tennessean.
Oh, Gretsch Tennessean. I don't know if you know this, yeah. But our guitar player before Jeff Walls, George, his signature sound was out of the Gretsch Tennessean.
Yeah, I did not know that.
So you mentioned that you guys started playing House of the Rising Sun and it was going over very well. And you mentioned that to Mickey Most, the producer, your producer at the time. But now Most wasn't very keen on you guys recording the song, from what I understand. Well, why was that?
He wanted, and the manager, our manager wanted us to release, because we had already recorded it, Talking About You, the Ray Charles version. Mm-hmm. Because there was a television show in England called 6-5 Special, and they were using that as the signature tune. So I thought, well, we should release that as a single because we're getting free publicity.
Right.
But we stood our ground and said, no, we'll put it on the B-side.
What was it like to work with Mickey Most?
It was pretty good. I mean, he knew hit records.
Mm-hmm.
The deal we made with him that he would find and pick the singles, mm-hmm. and we would pick what we wanted on LPs.
Did your or the band's vision, how you saw yourselves ever seem at odds with what Most wanted out of you guys?
Yeah, I think there was a few times where there was a bit of nothing disastrous.
Your debut single, Baby Let Me Take You Home. Now, yep. This is a song I really love all the permutations and versions of, but I find it kind of confusing. The writing credit on it is to Burt Burns and Wes Farrell. Those guys produced a version that this R&B guy, Hoagy Lanz, does called Baby Let Me Hold Your Hand. And then, of That's course, right. Bob Dylan has a version of the song called Baby Let Me Follow You Down.
Yep.
How did you guys first hear the song? Through Dylan or Hoagy Lanz or some other way?
Through Hoagy Lanz, really. That was we got the intro from that as well. You know, dun, 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 dun. That was off the Hoagy Lanz single.
You know, I got a copy of that. And what's so great to me about it is that there's this acoustic guitar on the beginning of the song, which, you know, in an R&B song, from that era especially, I can't think of anything else that has an acoustic guitar on it. Did you ever happen to work with or meet Burt Burns?
No, never did.
No. And what, you guys recorded that song, is that something that you guys wanted to have released as the debut single, or is it something that Mickey Most was really lobbying for?
Actually, I was a bit wrong there. It was for the second single. And I forgot that the first single was Baby Let Me Take You Home. So, yeah, we wanted it as the second single.
Oh, okay. So, you know, it's like House of the Rising Sun is such a huge hit in 64. And between then and 66, you've got lots of other hits. I'm Crying and Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. We got to get out of this place. It's My Life. Don't Bring Me Down. And I'd have to imagine that within those couple of years, it's very heady times. But it's been, you know, over 50 years ago now. Does it seem very, very far away in your past? Or are those days very, very vivid to you still?
No, it seems far away in the past.
Well, one of our DJs in the Underground Garage is Genya Raven, and she used to front Goldie and the Gingerbreads back in the 60s. Was it you and Eric Burden who helped convince her and her band to relocate to swing in London?
No, it was, we did sort of convince him to do that, but it was mainly Mike Jeffrey, our manager.
Ah, okay.
And who brought them over, yeah.
And did you play with them when they got to the UK? Did you tour with them at
no.
all?
No. I think we toured with the Stones.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah. Well, I know they did some things in the continent as well. So earlier you mentioned back when we were talking about coming up with House of the Rising Sun that you guys were, I guess, touring with supporting Chuck Berry. Is that right?
Yeah.
So at some point early on, did you guys back Sonny Boyle Williamson number two?
Yes, we did back Sonny Boyle. That was before the Chuck Berry tour, where we backed him at we were playing at the Club of Go-Go in Newcastle, and Mike Jeffrey owned the Club of Go-Go. So he had booked Sonny Boyle to play there.
Uh-huh.
And, so we got to back him.
Oh, you know what? It's just you've mentioned Mike Jeffries owning Club of Go-Go. The Animals have some Club of Go-Go song.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what the song is about.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the Animals, your bass player, Chaz Chandler, So he's responsible for discovering and managing Jimi Hendrix, bringing him to the UK. I believe you were interviewed for a Hendrix documentary in October of last year. What was your relationship to Hendrix? How did you meet him?
I went to see Hendrix play with Chas for the first time. And plus, I came up with the name The Experience, the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Wow. Well, so yeah. You saw him, you were with Chas Chandler, and you saw Hendrix then performing in the U.S., in New York?
Yeah, at the Café Noir.
Café Noir. And was, I think at that time, was he playing with Randy California? Or do you recall who he was playing with?
I can't really recall who he was playing with, but he was playing with another band. He was just like the guitarist in the band. And it might have been Jimmy James in the Blue Flames.
Yeah. So you go with the, and you see him, you go and you see him, check him out with Chas. So did that just completely blow your mind to see this guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely.
Did you keep in touch with him much when he got to the UK?
I did for a while, yeah.
So in the late 60s, you have a solo album that came out called All in Your Head. And I noticed that a couple of songs off of it, Peace and Run, 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 you've since redone in your skiffle forms as Skiffle Dog. And but my favorite tracks on there are Is There Anything But Love and the song Listen. Or do you play either of those songs in any of your other projects?
No.
No.
Well, I don't know why. I am
encouraging you to do so. I'm encouraging you to do so. Those are my favorite tracks off there. The Animals' original lineup reformed a couple of times, twice to record the albums before we were so rudely interrupted in 1977. And then a few years later, you got back together to do Arc in 1983. How do you feel about those? How do you feel about those later albums?
I thought they were pretty good, you know. And just recording them was just like as if we had never stopped, you know.
Oh, that must have been a very good feeling, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
Well, these days it seems like, or I believe this is still the case, drummer John Steele has got a band that he says he's got the Animals as part of the title, and Eric Burdon has got a version of an Animals. Have you played with both of those guys at different parts as their part of their sort of Animals combos?
Yes. I joined Eric a couple of times, actually. And John Steele, I had formed an Animals reunion. Well, not reunion, just an Animals band playing Animals songs. Mm-hmm. I called it Animals 2. And then John Steele joined that band with me. And Dave Robbery came in later.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Is there any acrimony between the two versions of the band? Or do you guys still speak to one another?
We still speak to one another. I don't really speak to John Steele much, but I speak with Eric.
Mm-hmm. So you guys were all inducted together into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they didn't induct Dave Robbery, although he did play on some of the hit songs. Was that a big event for you to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Does that have a meaning to you?
Yes. I mean, I didn't really realize how big a deal it was until we actually got there and we were inducted. Eric wasn't with us. He was in Germany doing some gigs. He got inducted later.
This past fall, you released a video for one of your older cuts, the song River Tyne, off of 2004's It's Folk and Skiffle Mate, from yourself as Skiffle Dog. So who is the director of that video? Do you recall?
Yeah. Emmy Award-winning Casey Sattler.
Casey Sattler. And you mentioned him being an Emmy Award-winning director?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So now, my understanding is that he's working on a documentary of you as well?
That's right, yeah. He came across to England with us to record the single. But while he was there, he took so much footage, he said he wanted to do a documentary as well. So we said, okay, looking forward to it.
I am as well. This is pretty exciting. Well, we'll have to check back as things progress, and you'll have to let us know when it's completed. My understanding is that the latest thing you've done is laying down a guitar part, a fuzz lead, on a song from a group called Apache, and that features Fuzz Tones, Headless Horseman guitar player Ellen Portnoy in it. Is that
right? Elan Portnoy.
So this guy Elan Portnoy from the Fuzz Tones, Headless Horseman member, he has some type of group.
The song is called Apache.
Right, the song is Apache.
It's covered from a band called The Shadows.
Right. Oh, very cool song. Is this something he's doing as an independent thing, or is he part of the band?
It's an independent thing that both of us decided to get together and do. We didn't actually get together. You know, he got a drummer and himself put a track down and sent it to me on the computer. And we took it from there. And I sent it back to him, and he's finishing it off. He's mixing it.
Oh, excellent. Well, I hope that that develops into some other songs as well. You guys need to do an album.
Maybe. His band is called The Overdrive 5.
Oh, The Overdrive 5. Very cool.
Yeah.
So I want to go out here on a skiffleized version of a Gene Vincent rockabilly tune that you do a version of Race with the Devil. And I think the album's called Skiffle Dog on Coburg Street. It's from 2011. And playing with you on this recording is the late Jeff Walls, Fleshhammer and the Woggles. And I know, Hilton, he was such a huge, huge fan of yours. Tell me how you guys met and what was it like working with Jeff?
We met when he was playing with your band. maybe it was at the casino. Yeah, Little Stevens Underground Garage was doing a thing. Your band was playing there.
That's right. In fact, you were playing that night, and you had been brought up on stage by the Boston band, the Downbeat Five.
That's right.
And they did an Animals cover. I can't recall what it is that they were playing, though. Do you?
I'm Crying, yes.
Yeah.
It was I'm Crying.
And so after our respective sets, is that when you guys started chatting?
Yes.
And so I mentioned him being on this recording. Did he produce any of those recordings that he's on?
Yes, he did. He produced The Skiffle Dog on Coburg Street. He co-produced it. You know, it was like an album, you know. And he also played on Race for the Devil, Wild About My Lovin', Anywhere, and Fran and Lil. Played on four songs and produced the rest.
Excellence. And on Race with the Devil, that you take the first guitar solo, and Jeff actually takes the second guitar solo, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, Race with the Devil is not a skiffle song, mind. It's not a skiffle, it's a rock and roll version.
Right. But it's played with acoustic guitars.
Yes.
Hilton, we've talked about some of your recordings here. In a moment, we'll play Race with the Devil, but we've talked about River Tyne and sort of your progression from skiffle to rock and then sort of back to skiffle and incorporating, well, not just skiffle elements, but also rock and roll elements on your more recent recordings. Where can people get your music from?
They can purchase Animal CDs and my CDs from my website, hiltonvalentine.com.
That is easy enough to remember. Well, Hilton, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
All right, you take care.
We're going to give a listen now to your version of Race with the Devil. Here's Hilton Valentine and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Gold or silver, I'll hide from the devil and judgment day. Move hot on the moonlight, move hot on the moonlight, move hot right on down the line. Well, me and the devil sitting at the stoplight, he started rolling out that side. Move hot on the moonlight, move hot on the moonlight, move hot right on down the line.
Race with the Devil. That's the Gene Vincent song, as performed by Hilton Valentine, off his 2011 album, Skiffle Dog on Coburg Street. He had some help on that recording from the late Jeff Walls, a.k.a. Flesh Hammer of the Woggles, who plays second guitar on it. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Hilton for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And look for a new Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock, next week, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.